This is Fresh Air. Can your employer cut back your health insurance after you've gotten sick and then put a financial cap on your particular illness? Well, that's the question behind the case we're about to discuss. In 1987, Jack McGann got AIDS after he filed his first claim with his employer, H&H Music, in Houston. The company changed its insurance plan and put a financial cap on AIDS-related expenses. McGann sued. He lost, appealed, and lost again. Now the case may be headed for the Supreme Court. But today, the Bush administration urged the court not to hear the case. How are McGann's medical benefits changed? After he got AIDS, his company decided to become self-insured. Under a federal law, companies that are self-insured are exempt from state insurance regulations, including those which prohibit caps on specific diseases. When McGann got sick, he was insured for $1 million over the course of a lifetime. But under his company's new policy, there was a $5,000 cap on AIDS-related expenses. McGann died over a year ago, and for the record, I should tell you he was a friend of mine. We're going to hear from lawyers representing both sides of this case. First, Suzanne Goldberg of the Lambda Legal Defense Fund, who is representing McGann's estate. I asked her to explain how McGann's policy was changed after he got sick.
Well, basically, H&H Music had $1 million lifetime coverage for all of its employees through a traditional health insurance program. And that's a plan where a typical plan where an employer pays insurance premiums for its employee to an outside insurer. When Jack McGann informed his employer that he had AIDS, the company decided it would shift to a self-insured plan. That means that the company may continue with an insurance plan administrator, but really the company funds the health coverage itself. When it made that change, the company decided to keep its $1 million lifetime coverage, but cap benefits for AIDS-related treatments at $5,000. The difference between a traditional insurance plan and a self-insured plan is that a self-insured plan is not subject to state regulation. What that means in the case, what that meant in the case of Jack McGann, is that the new plan was not subject to state laws which prohibited discrimination against people with HIV, state laws that prohibited AIDS benefit caps.
So let me see if I get this straight. The employee got AIDS, and after submitting a claim, then the company decided to switch policies to become self-insured, and that meant that it could cap the benefits for AIDS because companies that are self-insured are not subjected to state regulations.
That's right. Really, the only reason it seems that H&H Music shifted from a traditional to a self-insured plan was to avoid state regulations that would have prohibited it from imposing a cap on AIDS-related benefits.
What did the company tell McGann about their reasons for changing to self-insured?
The company admitted that it changed to self-insured to avoid paying the costs of McGann's care for his treatments for HIV disease. Jack McGann had worked for the company since 1982. In late 1987, he went into the hospital, found he had pneumonia, and received an AIDS diagnosis. In early 1988, he told his company that he had AIDS and submitted his first claims. 2 months later, the company called a meeting with McGann and the insurance company to discuss McGann's illness. And 4 months after that, the company announced that it was shifting insurance plans and now was offering a new plan, a self-insured plan, that kept the old $1 million lifetime coverage for all illnesses except for HIV disease.
Is this happening to a lot of people, that they're employed by a company and the company changes its policy after you've gotten sick and suddenly your insurance isn't what you thought it was?
Well, that's exactly the problem. We at Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, who represent McGann, are getting calls from all around the country from people who have AIDS, who file a claim with their employer, and then find that their employer is changing the coverage to exclude them from a plan. Of course, this isn't only happening to people with AIDS and HIV disease. It is also happening to people with a range of other illnesses that an employer somehow deems are too expensive to be covered, and then the employer writes those people out of the plan. It really strikes at the vulnerability of all employees who are covered under self-insured plans.
Now, explain some more what a self-insured plan is and how do you know if your company has one?
Well, the easiest way to know if your company has one is to go back and look at your insurance policy. It will say in your policy what type of plan you're covered under. Your policy will also tell you the rights under that plan. 65% of all Americans who receive insurance through their employer are now covered by self-insured plans. Most large employers have shifted from traditional insurance plans to self-insured plans. Some of them have shifted, they say, to save costs. Others, like the company in this case, really shifted to avoid paying the costs of care for a specific employee.
I guess, an employer can certainly make the argument that AIDS-related medical expenses would drive them out of business because it costs so much money. Did H&H Music make that claim?
Sure they did, and there are a couple of important points to keep in mind regarding that claim. One is that the reasoning for, in terms of cutting out a person with AIDS as opposed to cutting out a person with HIV, as opposed to cutting out a person with, say, cancer or some other disease, isn't based on any kind of sound actuarial principle. The truth is that lifetime treatment for care of a person with AIDS is about $85,000. The cost of care for a person with breast cancer is usually estimated about $50,000 to $60,000. Cost of care for a person with a liver transplant is $145,000. For a premature baby can be above $500,000. So when a company says that it's cutting out a person with HIV disease to save costs, it seems clear that underlying that is an intent to discriminate against people with AIDS. Also, if a company is truly interested in saving costs, there's absolutely no basis for cutting out a specific disease, and in this case, a specific worker from a plan. If a company wants to save costs, it can cut costs across the board.
So you are suing for discrimination?
Yes, we're suing under a provision of the federal law that prohibits an employer from interfering with an employee who claims a right under a plan. We're arguing that the employer here promised $1 million worth of lifetime coverage and did not change that promise until Jack McGann tried to make a claim on it. What this really means is that an employer is trying to make a promise and then when called to pay on that promise, isn't doing so.
You know, it just makes you wonder, isn't the premise of all insurance that you pay them money when something goes wrong, they pay you? It's kind of scary to think that the insurer can renege on that promise.
That's absolutely right. Really, what this case shows is that all workers are vulnerable because the courts, in upholding the employer's decision to cap benefits, have effectively said that, employer, you can promise your employees anything, and when it comes time to pay, you don't really have to do so.
Suzanne Goldberg is a lawyer with the Lambda Legal Defense Fund. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is lawyer Suzanne Goldberg. Your case is being supported by the National Governors Association, the American Medical Association, and the American Association of Retired Persons. What's the connection with the American Association of Retired Persons?
They care, as we do, about the vulnerability of all people who are covered under self-insured plans. The AARP recognizes that while this case excluded a person with AIDS from a plan, the court's decision also means that any employer can now exclude any person or any disease from a plan. And this clearly strikes at the needs of so many of the AARP's members who are covered under insurance plans from employers.
Well, you know, something that really confuses me about this whole suit is why are employers who have their own insurance companies exempt from state regulations?
The philosophy of the federal government behind exempting employers from state regulation is that if an employer is national, the federal government wanted to avoid a situation where an employer would be liable for a patchwork of different types of regulations from across the country. In other words, if the state of Texas requires one thing and the state of Massachusetts requires another and the state of New York requires a third, the federal government wanted to avoid making employers have to comply with 50 different types of regulations.
And there's no federal regulation that prevents an employer with a self-insurance policy from putting a cap on one specific disease.
There has been no federal regulation to prevent that. We are trying to argue in this case that there should be, and that actually that there is, and that that law exists, and that the courts below simply misinterpreted that law, and that decision must be overruled. There is also the Americans with Disabilities Act, which has come into effect, and we will be arguing that the ADA, as it's known, does prohibit caps on a specific disease in an insurance plan.
Do you see this suit as just being an example of how healthcare costs and health insurance are just kind of out of control in our country now?
This suit really highlights the problems of the healthcare system in this country today. The most significant aspect of this suit is it shows how vulnerable all workers under self-insured plans are. You know, of course, rising healthcare costs play a role in causing employers to shift from traditional to self-insured plans, with employers thinking that somehow they're going to save some money. But the truth is that the costs have to be covered somewhere or other. Partly, costs should, of course, be kept down. And partly, the federal government has really not taken any responsibility over the last 12 years in developing a system that will better address the health care needs of this society. So now we have people who do not have access to health care suffering as a result of the absence, virtual absence of a decent federal health care system, and employers who say, why us? Why should we bear the burden of costs of national health care? Under the system that the federal administration has been pushing for the last many years, the responsibility for health care in this country has supposedly been divided between the public and private sectors. The truth is, under the decision in this case, the private sector has yet another way to get out of taking that part of its responsibility. One reason why groups like the National Governors Association and the U.S. Conference of Mayors are so interested in the outcome of the case is that it is the cities and states which ultimately wind up bearing the bulk of the burden for health care costs, especially when private employers can exclude from its plans coverage of people who have certain so-called expensive diseases, which then leaves the cities and states to pick up the tab.
Suzanne Goldberg is representing the estate of Jack McGann. Coming up, we'll hear from the lawyer representing McGann's former employer. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about health insurance and a case that challenges an employer's right to put a financial cap on coverage of your disease after you've gotten sick. My guest Mark Huvert is representing H&H Music in Houston in a suit filed by an employee with AIDS. I asked Huvert what the rationale was when the company changed the health insurance plan after the employee, Jack McGann, got sick.
I think their rationale was to try and preserve as much of the medical benefits that they could provide their employees as possible and provide the broadest range of benefits. Mr. McGann's benefits, or the benefit for AIDS, wasn't the only thing that was cut. There was a cap put on what I understand to be one of the more expensive items, which is mental and nervous disorders, and treatment for drug and alcohol abuse was eliminated entirely, so that there was no benefit payable for that. The plan, in the year prior to the plan change, for every dollar it took in, it spent a dollar and a half. So I think the fair rationale was to try and save money so that the money that was available, that the company was chipping in toward payment of premiums and to have the coverage, was to have as great a benefit as possible for the greatest number of people.
AIDS is a life-threatening illness. Is it discrimination to put a cap on AIDS and not put a cap on other life-threatening illnesses that are also very expensive, like kidney disease or cancer or heart attacks?
I guess I would ask you to define discrimination. What's really gone unsaid in this case, and nobody's really talked about it, although the Fifth Circuit in deciding the case talked about it a little bit, was you know, what is the rationale? The only rationale that H&H was ever accused of for using in making the determination to cap the benefit for AIDS was to save money. Certainly, they chose different benefit levels for various items, various illnesses. I guess you could argue that drug and alcohol abuse is an illness, and it is life-threatening. The problem with saying, is it discrimination, it implies that there's something more going on than just trying to save money because a particular disease or category of diseases is very costly to a plan. I don't think Mr. McGann ever made the allegation that the company was treating him in a discriminatory manner in terms of other conditions of his employment, or that somehow the company had a personal dislike for him. The allegation in his complaint, and in fact through all the proceedings, was it's not right because they're trying to save money. Well, that's pretty obvious that the company was trying to save money due to the cost of the disease. And so if you're going to ask the question, is it discrimination, you have to define, I think, what you mean by discrimination. I mean, are you asking me, does the company not like people with AIDS? I think the answer to that is that I don't think it matters to the company, so long as the employee is able to do a good job.
There's always a gamble in insurance, and the gamble is, you know, if you're well or if your house doesn't burn down, then maybe you didn't need the insurance. But, you know, you're paying this money or whatever, and when you do get sick or when your house does burn down, you're insured. And you just wonder, like, what about the insurer's end of that bargain? Does this mean that if the house burns down or if you get AIDS, that they could decide, whoops, it's too expensive, we don't really want to cover it, so we'll kind of change the policy?
Well, I understand your question. The problem is, in the context of our case, it's not really applicable. And from this standpoint, H&H Music Company is in the music business. It provided insurance as a benefit to its employees, but it had to pay for part of that benefit as well. And it is not an insurance company. It's not in the business of insuring people and making money by providing that insurance. So that H&H Music Company had to make a decision from its business standpoint, could it afford to continue to fund that part of the benefit program that it had, and to fund with its, with I guess its profits, that part of the benefits program that was going to carry this health insurance for these employees.
But still, it made a commitment to its employees. Employees there took the job, stayed with the job, with the understanding that if they got sick, they were covered for a maximum of $1 million per lifetime.
Well, the commitment that the company had to the employees was set out in the employee benefits manual, or the summary plan description booklet, and it clearly said that the plan could change from year to year. It was terminable at any time. I think it's unfortunate. Most of us have the concept, I think, that if we have a job with a company, that we're always going to have the same employee benefits for the duration of that company. But H&H could have made the decision, for example, not to have any health insurance whatsoever, in which case there would have been no benefit for anybody to have to complain about. It could companies go out of business every day, and employees who had health insurance no longer have health insurance. So I think it's wrong, and it's probably unfortunate and dangerous for American employers and employees especially, to assume that they are always going to have insurance at the levels, you know, where they come in for employment with a company. It's not true.
I have you asked yourself how you would feel if this kind of thing happened to you?
Sure. I would probably be angry and upset, and I'm sure I would feel all the things that Mr. McGann felt. I've asked myself the question, what would I feel like if it happened to me today, and what can I do to prevent it? Because the problems that I face as an individual or that you face as an individual are probably no different than Mr. McGann insofar as insurance is concerned. I have to make a premium payment. My premiums are going up. They're going up as a result of my own family's health care claims, and they're going up as a result of the health care claims that are being experienced by the insurance company from whom I have the insurance. At some point, I have to either switch carriers because I can no longer afford the premium that I'm paying, or I have to continue to pay the premium. If I no longer have the ability to continue to pay that insurance premium, what happens to me?
Mark Huvard is a lawyer with the firm Harburg, Huvard & Bisk in Houston.